Welcome, everyone, to the LaRouche Show. This is Saturday, October 1st, 2011. My name is Marcia Mary Baker, and our headline topic for this program today is The Great Pacific Alliance, Today's Strategic Reality. Now, I hope most all of you who are listening today or following the archive know that on September 30th, Mr. LaRouche gave a national, in fact, an international address at the end of what you could call the financial year in the United States. But that hardly was the point. This is no more accounting as usual. This is a strategic turning point. And I hope all of you will, for yourself, look at that national address, the discussion that followed it. It's on LaRouchePAC.com. But basically, he said, we are at a point of opportunity for a great step forward in terms of the condition of humanity. And that's the leading point of our discussion today, that if you take certain developments, let's just take the last 10 days, and they concern the what you could call the Great Pacific Alliance. They concern Russia and China. You had some specific historic events in Russia where a week ago Saturday, we mentioned this on our show at the time on September 24, the figures of government there, Mr. Putin, the Prime Minister, Mr. Medvedev, the President, pulled off an announcement that about what they were going to do for the new government in 2012 that went against completely the kind of decades of British imperial domination and intervention and ruination against nations. Mr. Putin announced that he would be again running for president, with the collaboration of Mr. Medvedev, who will head the United Russia slate and be run for prime minister. And what this means is not a shift of, by any means, just certain outstanding persons, but it means an endorsement of the thrust towards real development in Eurasia and for the whole planet of very concrete physical economic advances, railroad advances in Eastern Asia, minerals development, development of the Arctic, nuclear power. We'll be discussing this more. But this is the new opportunity for collaboration between the United States. Once we take care of some problems here, we'll get into that. But basically, it means once we get the British Empire infestation of the White House moved aside. But collaboration with the United States, collaboration with China, Russia and China are already collaborating, for a shift into a world of this kind of development trajectory and away from the collapse under the dead monetarist system that we see going on, in particular in the transatlantic region. Now, I'm not going to be giving a briefing here, but I'll just sum up that it's dismal. In the last few days, what you saw in Europe is at least 11 or 12, I think, of the 17 Eurozone nations have had their elected leaders go ahead and ratify more rotten, hopeless financial bailout authorization for the European Financial Stability Fund. I think the latest vote was in Austria in the last 36 hours. And this is not only not workable, it's destroying peoples and nations, and that's our strategic problem. So in a nutshell, I've just described a certain situation of initiatives, the Trans-Pacific orientation and initiatives that mean everything for us now and that we can go for, versus the kind of transatlantic degradation and the breakdown. So we can get to the United States in the course of the hour, but I will say in advance that one of our guests who was going to speak to us, Todd Nordquist, who is based in Seattle and part of the whole LaRouche Political Action Committee there, and especially the campaign of Dave Christie, who's running for Congress there as part of the National LaRouche Democrat slate of six. But Todd Nordquist, at the last minute, was called out for certain reasons, and he's going to be on the program sometime in the next few weeks. So, but with that introduction, I'm so glad that we have with us our two guests from Buenos Aires. There have been momentous developments in Argentina in recent days, and I welcome Betiana Gonzalez. Welcome, Betiana.
Thank you, Marcia.
And Emiliano Andino, welcome.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Marcia.
Welcome back. It's been a long while.
Yes.
So what I'd like to do is, why don't one of you there, you decide, but would you care to comment, would you care to just fill everyone in on what's happened in Argentina? I'm calling it momentous, and say anything you want to in terms of the context as Mr. LaRouche laid out in his national address September 30th, but please go ahead.
Sure. Thank you, Marcia. Okay, we are having a lot of fun in Argentina right now, and actually what LaRouche just developed, the idea of the Pacific Alliance with the three powers, just goes hand in hand with what's taking place in Argentina. Because, for example, this week, on Wednesday, we inaugurated our third nuclear power plant, Atucha 2. And this was a historical moment for the Argentine nation. This project was canceled during the 1990s due to the due to the power of the IMF over the countries, not only Argentina, Ibero-America in general, or the world. But now we're seeing a renaissance of the spirit of the nuclear energy capacity. So Néstor Kirchner began the project in 2006. He relaunched the nuclear program for the nation, and now Cristina has inaugurated this second power plant, which had been canceled, but now she took the challenge of not only doing that, but going for more. She said, "This is just a step. We're going to go for more nuclear energy, more nuclear power plants. We're going to transform the energetic system of the nation." And this is really important because LaRouche developed the idea of the battle of the three powers alliance of the Pacific orientation, of what Russia and China are doing, as a contrast to the kind of viewpoint that's coming from the doomed transatlantic region, which is the oligarchical view based on an imperial system. And this view is, for example, what's taking place with the crazy media campaign that came out after Fukushima, and what happened in Germany with the shutting down of the nuclear sector completely. It shows the contrast to these nations, which are killing themselves, are killing their hopes for a future, and what's taking place in Argentina is completely different. So in that context, I think it's important because it represents this renaissance of the nuclear sector, represents the open door for a collaboration, for joining this Pacific Alliance. And just in the same way that some months ago in June we had the launching of our fourth satellite, the SAC-D from the Aquarius series. This satellite was built in Argentina, but it was built with a collaboration in technology based with NASA. So we had a collaboration between Argentina and different other countries with the purpose of extending our sensorium, going outside of Earth. How many countries right now in this crisis that we're going through are thinking this way? You live in the United States, you know what Obama is doing, is shutting down NASA. So this really is a momentum in Argentina where it's clear what the mission orientation is if we want to save the nation. For example, the head of our space agency, Conrado Barotto, in Argentina, he clarified this idea. He said, our goal, the goal of our space program, which is, it's little now. We just launched an important satellite with different collaboration, but the goal, the real direction, is to provide a different view from space, a different view of the Earth, to have an early alert, which is to be able to prevent, with several months in advance, all different natural catastrophes that take place on Earth. For example, what you just experienced in the United States with the hurricanes, or what happened in Japan with the earthquake. All of these, it's possible. It's possible to forecast with several months in advance with a system where nations can collaborate. And that's a kind of vision or a mission that Argentina has for a space program, is to go outside of Earth and be able to help from outside to solve the problems that we are going through right now. Also, in that same idea, I think you can see, for example, how Russia and China look for this collaboration, for this kind of collaboration around the world. Because what LaRouche is saying is not something that will happen. This alliance between nations is not something that might happen, will happen. It is happening, and it's been happening for several years. Just last year, Russia, we had in Argentina the first visit of a Russian president in our country. So Medvedev came to our country, and he came with several scientists, and there were a lot of agreements that were signed based on the collaboration, and it was a strategic kind of collaboration between Russia and Argentina based on research on geological science, research on nuclear sector, also on space, projects to build nuclear submarines, more nuclear power plants in Argentina and in the region. But essentially, you know, Russia has a tremendous and vast amount of natural resources. But we have the same in similar situation in Argentina. We have the Patagonia, which also has a lot of potential to develop these natural resources. So this becomes more and more a step towards developing a policy in the same line as NAWAPA. NAWAPA means that, developing the biospheric capacity of the Earth or the land of the nation. So that was on the side of Russia. But, for example, on the side of China, what was the view from China, not only with Russia for a collaboration, but with Argentina? Just a month ago, we had the head of the, actually it's the Julián Domínguez, it's the Minister of Agriculture in Argentina, and he had a visit, a trip to China, and after he came back, as soon as he came back, he launched the agricultural plan for 2016, and it was very impressive because it was clear from that trip what the conception is from China and how they're looking for an alliance to solve world problems. For example, our program, our new food production program, is going to be based on doubling the food production in Argentina. And that comes from this strategic trip with China. So the idea is Argentina, by 2016, will be able to produce food for 800 million people for the world, because it was clear from the discussion that a strategic collaboration will be based on solving the world, the problems of the world. In this case, the problem we have right now, which is hunger. We have hunger worldwide because we are still under the trends of this transatlantic imperial system. So it's clear that there's a fight that's resonating around the world where the battle is settled from the standpoint that LaRouche has developed the idea of a mission orientation based on the space program to get out of Earth and solve the problems. And these nations are looking for that. They're working, they have been working towards that orientation, and now it's consolidating more and more. And in the case of Argentina, it's clear that our president is looking for building a nation where we need more people. That's the idea. You know, Argentina is a big country in territory, but has small amount of people. So in that sense, it's clear for us, as it is for China, for Russia, that it's a lie that we have overpopulation. What we need is more people. What we need is to build more cities, give people a chance to develop their creativity. And that's the message that we have had. And also, yeah, there's one more thing that came out of this this relation between China and Russia and Argentina, which is something that actually bothers a little bit the British. The British have had a strong provocation with the case of the Malvinas War. You know, the British stole the Malvinas.
Oh,
they invaded
yes.
the Malvinas. So, and China and Russia have made clear that they support Argentina because they support the idea of freeing the nations from colonialism. And in that sense, it's been very strategic, I think, that they're looking towards Ivory America, towards the Third World in this way. They think, okay, it's time to take the British Empire out of the map.
Right, I'm sure. It's a great pleasure that the British are that the imperial types are upset at what's going on. Now we have to go the whole way. Do you?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Well, I wanted to look at maybe because sometimes, I mean, one of the problems people have is about how to see how to understand the effectiveness of the fight. Will the victory be possible? And I mean, we are, as Bettina said, we are really having a very good time. I mean, here, a beautiful moment of history because we are somehow achieving developments of justice. Many things that were deaths in history that we also always were looking for were the main things being discussed all the time. One day we will have this, one day we will have to achieve this. And now we are going through that on a very fast track. And that's very, very, really, really unique. But I was wondering when some people, I mean, because I can just say back in 2001, which is 10 years 10 years ago, Argentina had this great crisis where its own future was on doubt. People were trying to divide the country in pieces, selling pieces of territory to pay the foreign debt to the IMF, and many other crazy ideas. But the solution for that was based on leadership, because actually it was really based on the leadership of a few people. In this case, Néstor Kirchner. The population was waiting for hope, for a future, but actually have no idea about how to get there. to get into a better situation. But this strong leadership, somehow patient leadership, that, you know, all the victories will come through step by step if we keep our mind focused on a strategic view of history, really bring us to this point where now what actually we celebrate is that now the people becomes part of that leadership. Now the people is involved in that process, and now the people knows how it's what kind of future they want. Naturally, people in Argentina, since it's identified with industry and science and sovereignty, as Tatiana just mentioned, the Malvinas issue against the British is something really, really felt here. The weak force of the culture was there, but in great crisis, sometimes it becomes a hard moment. But when, as well, you have in history with Roosevelt, we had this experience with the Kirchner that they have been fighting and leading the nation up to this moment. What in the past it was a few people fighting for that. Actually, we were involved in that in presenting this perspective for Argentina. Now it's becoming general. Now when people who say that if they support science and technology, if somebody heard that person, which, oh, so you're with the government, right? That's official view. So it's just that that way of understanding the political identity of people. So the fun part of this that we are really celebrating is that the cultural fight.
Uh-huh.
Part of this, it's when the principles that move civilization becomes, it's not just the idea of some leadership and people, well, they obey that, but actually becomes the spirit of the population, and that really is amazing us, because day by day we see developments and actually, you know, the cultural platform for the project we are presenting as an AWAPA, as a Glass-Steagall, as a credit system, as Lynn just explained yesterday in its presentation,
yes,
becomes much more and more fertile, because it actually is demanding, because it we are now we are having a population with some political view, but that we don't have to somehow defeat or change their mind because they are thinking about suicide and stuff like that. No, they are thinking about the future, about growing, about more population, about giving access to every person, the access to participate in the economic process. And I'm saying that because, you know, we have these kind of sometimes biases in history and political economy that, you know, there are some, as we know with the Soviet Union, they had these great advances in science, but, you know, population was living outside of that. But in the American system, as you know, the population lives through that scientific development. And I think that it's embedded here now in Argentina. And one of the things that are being very unique, as maybe as the process is, for example, the idea, the principle of sovereignty, which I think it has governed the government.
Yes.
Governed the government for all these 10, 11 years.
Right.
Yes, 8 years, very shorter. That has been changing. It's the way it manifests. But first it was the fight against the IMF. Really, really existential fight about will we keep living as a nation or we're going to die. And that was the main battle, and because of that battle was won, then different steps have been achieved, and one continue after the other one. But as a process of development, last year in 2010 we had these bicentennial celebrations.
Uh-huh.
For our independence, as you had in 1976.
Yeah.
Well, we have it that year. And, well, people were not making just historical remembering how it was in the 1810, how did we... Actually, what about being independent now? So, and that celebration was based on right now, on this moment of history that we are still talking and thinking about being independent, and we are experiencing it as a nation, as something real, as not as some kind of, you know, sophisticated discussion, but actually a real struggle to achieve that. And the important, the most, you know, amazing thing is that Cristina Kirchner, once the people showed up being so willing to support that and being really active on that socially, she said, okay, we're going to do now a political movement, I mean, a demonstration, a cultural demonstration for the idea of sovereignty.
Uh-huh.
So she chose a date, which was the celebration of a battle against the British.
Oh, good. At
the beginning, of the 1800s, which was, you know, the battle of Vuelta de Obligado. Well, you know, British forces in ships were kicked out of the country. It was not an obvious celebration, just putting ships there again and trying to repeat the same experience, but actually to say, well, we're going to have to reestablish the idea of sovereignty as the spirit of the nation, so we will do a mass exposition, see, a theme park on science, because the way to be sovereign is through scientific development. You can imagine how we were jumping.
Oh, yes. When did you say, you mean that originated just a year or so ago, this idea?
Actually, a year ago, but actually it was a scientific exposition that happened this year, which is called Technopolis.
Yes, it's very famous. Go ahead, please.
The main thing I want people to know and think about, it's about how the struggle, the fight we are doing, needs to think about the culture and how the culture is being affected by science.
Mm-hmm.
And how we have to affect the culture with science, not because, you know, the false view of science, as we know in the globalization process, which is, you know, creating funny devices, but actually the scientific development of the culture, of the population, as the only way to develop the creative power of mankind. And that idea of expanding the participation of people in science, of giving access to them, it's something that is, I think, it's very, very interesting. As you know, Betiana mentioned this person, Conrado Barotto, which is maybe the most important scientific figure in Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
Continuously, every decision that is being taken, it's based not in amazing someone, in making something very, I don't know, like a Hollywood show. No, it's actually doing things that will really transform the way people do things. As you know, the space program in Argentina is not, the scientific program is not about going to Mars yet,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually about setting up the platform for the development of the region into a scientific economy, which, as we know, naturally, will bring us to the position to say, let's go to Mars. Iberoamerica should go to Mars. But I think this very useful thing is that it's not like, you know, competing, but actually the thing that it's really setting up a very solid situation is that the culture is the center of politics in the sense of developing a scientific culture. Cristina said that many times ago, that we are talking about a cultural fight,
uh-huh.
and not just economic achievements by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the people, you can see from being at the street, going to political debates, because we're approaching national elections in October, and there's a lot of debate. But you can see this Technopolis theme park has transformed already the way the common people are thinking, because now they demand a different kind of discussion in terms of politics. what's going to come, what's your political program. They're demanding to discuss about progress. And I think that is what represents the potential for this Ivero-American vision to come forth. For, you know, it's been a historical debt, as Emiliano was saying, that the Ivero-American vision has been downgraded to the level of becoming poorer and poorer, but now we're seeing a spark of light from the leadership of, which is what Emiliano was developing. The idea of the sovereignty is the leadership of the mind, because this kind of worldwide situation demands people will not understand, in whatever nation you are, people will not understand the process that's taking place if they cannot tune their minds into the idea of a mission orientation as getting the human race out of the earth. Because that's what LaRouche tried to put forth in the discussion last night. He said, we are going through the extinction, the mass extinction of the human race. But is it going to be the human race, or is it going to be the oligarchical system? It depends on these decisions, on these alliances. And other nations will be ready to join if they try to understand that their minds have to convey an idea of progress outside of what's taking place in, for example, in the doom transatlantic system.
Right, you're certainly giving a picture of that. I'll say to our listeners that this is October 1st, the LaRouche Show, that speaking of the transatlantic system, we have this miserable crowd called the Congress coming back to Washington, D.C., October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. But we aren't going to take what we do and think based on their cowardice and their generational boomerist problems and their littleness. We do have latent in the United States, which we've been bringing out and activating, a potential to really force a shift in the United States, in Washington, D.C. That's not our topic right now, but I want everyone listening should do the maximum. You don't know exactly where. There's one singular kind of expression, for example, for the Glass-Steagall reinstatement, for the for saying the truth that Obama is unfit and he should step aside in one way or another. Just, we have to all step that up here. I'm just throwing that in while we're hearing this report on the expansion and focus and harnessing of great optimism from South America, from Argentina. And Betiana, as you said, the world is shifting already. It isn't just pending a potential shift. And if we force this in the United States, we're at an incredible moment. I think Mr. LaRouche said on September 30th, Franklin Delano Roosevelt is looking down. He's somewhere, and he's smiling right now. Mm-hmm. Not because we've succeeded, and certainly he didn't, but because we're in the fight, and we can do this. Let me throw out, I have a couple more questions, the time is zipping by, but we have 30 more minutes. Apropos of this event, you mentioned of the Atucha Dos, is that it? The second of the two, that 40 years ago, the first nuclear plant came online at this particular site, and Argentina has another one, but it... President Cristina Kirchner pulled the switches this week. Please make sure and everyone look at that. You can find on LaRouche Pack the video of that. It's on September 29th in the World in Review. And our EIR Online is publishing the speech, the transcription of President Cristina Kirchner's speech. And because she, of course, explicitly addresses sovereignty. and expresses and discusses the history of we're not of what Argentina has done and what it's going to do in the future. But you know, Emiliano and Betiana, it strikes me too. You know, another nuclear plant was opened in September, the Bushehr in Iran. I think that was September 12th. I may have the date wrong. Where its electricity was put into the grid. In other words, it was a big celebration, and Mr. Putin sent best regards from Russia, and the Russians have worked together with Iran for years after that plant, the Bushehr project, decades ago, was supposed to not happen under a world of the IMF and the British imperial policy of nations must be backward and must be pitted against each other. So that nuclear plant is now, the electricity is now going into the grid, and it will be upgraded more. So let me ask you one thing. Can you say more on the Technopolis? I think it opened about 2 months ago, and it's in Buenos Aires, right? Do you just want to say the kind of thing that's there? Because to stress again, we're not talking about Disney World having a few nice things about hydroponics down in Epcot Center, Florida, or somewhere.
Yeah, well, actually, it's I think the political victory is also actually in the intention, and people is paying attention to the intention that is launching exposition.
Okay.
We are in South America, and we have been relegated on that. So there is a big debt on the with the population to have access to that kind of experiences. So here that has a really big impact because it was not allowed. From happening, and I'm talking about decades and actually centuries.
Okay.
We have the greatest achievements with the Perón government in the 1940s and 50s. But after that, we couldn't set up such a scientific movement into the population, which is something which we are living right now. So we are talking about that. Something thought as a really big exposition, so people jumps in and, I don't know, think, imagine. So they decide to divide it into different continents. You know, one is called water, fire,
earth,
okay. Space, air, and also one called imagination, which was the sixth continent, in order to, you know, set people, you know, so people set their minds free and think about what's coming into the future and what should be there. So we have in this exposition, you know, all these historical achievements that Argentina had, as maybe many people know about the achievements in 1950s with the aircraft industry.
Oh yes.
Yes.
Do you want to say so? I mean, it was a major construction, design, and everything, right?
Yeah, sure. Well, and it's it was the expression of the fight for science in mankind, because we are talking about German scientists that were kicked out of the Nazi Germany, mm-hmm. and came to Argentina, and then the Perón government was overthrown by British forces, so these people had to flow out again of the country. So we are talking about something like a. Crusade against science that mankind suffers. So one nation, you know, it's having that people. So you know, those aircrafts became also the spirit of the capacity for joining, because we're talking about cooperation from other cultures, but actually joining that impulse and taking it as part of our own culture. And in that moment also, in the 1940s and 50s, it was not only about doing aircraft, but actually about doing space medicine, space biology, sending everything to the working on the frontiers of science.
Uh-huh.
Something that maybe explains why it's once some leader used science as a platform for the political program. And has this kind of success. You can think about what Perón did in 1940s, when they were talking about what kind of investigations and research should be done. They show him that you have nuclear fission and nuclear fusion. Mm-hmm. So he asked, well, what's more frontier science? And they say, well, nuclear fusion. It's the most, you know, adventurous and advanced program. Okay, let's go for that. Mm-hmm. So that was in the 1940s without a scientific, a platform, background, in order to say, I can join this program. And actually, that kind of adventurous view, I think that's something I want to always bring back to life. And even here in Argentina, that's also a very important thing that Argentinians need to discover, that way of believing in the capacity for that kind of achievement. So, you know, Tecnopolis brings back all that into life. We have, you know, rocketry, rockets that are have been designed here in Argentina, rockets that are being designed for satellite launching. Mm-hmm. And biotechnology, which is being developed for this agricultural explosion, and it's the way that people participate into that that I think it's the most useful thing. Not so much, you know, the things which are useful and have a lot of value, but actually the way people is there, the way people is looking at things, and this sixth continent imagination, that's the most important one for them.
Yeah, and also we have had around, I think, over 1 million people visiting the theme park in just less than a month.
Right.
And because there's a lot of interest, and people also complaining from the rest of the regions, the farther regions of the country, right, complaining that they cannot go.
They need satellite exhibits, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But it's there's a tremendous interest to know what's the frontier of science, as Emiliano was saying. As it was in the 1940s in Argentina, now they're reliving that experience of, okay, what's next? What's the next challenge that we have? What's coming next? And what he said about the biotechnology, I think that is also it's something to highlight from the theme park, because you can also see, for example, that we have the Malargüe Cosmic Rays Observatory there. You can go and and get a sense of what's the importance of having the observation of the cosmic rays for the world, not just for Argentina. And I think that helps people to see, to think in terms of the continent of the imagination, to think in a different way about science. That, you know, science is not something outside of our lives. It's something that it's all the time affecting our capacity to move forward or not. And you can also see with the bioengineering the application of that. Argentina has a significant role in the continent, because with the idea of the food production, doubling the food production, one of the things that our finance minister said was, Amado Mourou, he said that now comes the era of making, industrializing the farming sector of Argentina.
Uh-huh.
And that's also another fight with the British.
Yes.
So it's everything connected, I think. Not only Tecnopolis, but and how people are having access to know what the country is doing, but also what the world is developing, as you see with the frontier of science, with the cosmic rays development. But people can access to see everything and can also understand what is policy based on science to build the basis of a different nation. Because in the case of biotechnology, to industrialize and improve the processes of food production, people can see that that's going to be the future, that we're gonna win the crowd of the British Empire in Argentina that has had this view of third world countries as just raw material productions and not developing a manufacturing system, an industrialized system. So I wanted to highlight that also from the novelist.
Oh, yes. Let me ask both, either one of you two, on most of our listeners may be from North America, or the and this firsthand report, given the development, given the nuclear power, and given the stance against the IMF, is just very exciting to hear, but and moralizing. Can you also say firsthand some of the extremes that you know, people, when thinking scientifically, realize it isn't just what's the weather going to be. We're in a whole solar and galactic situation. And would you describe, literally in South America, does some of your population, say, put together that, you know, what are we guarding against very explicitly? You had the particular, you had the clouds from Chile, you have the earthquakes. Could you just recapitulate that a bit? What you're trying to be in a position to know in advance, or some of the literal dangers from the earth there?
Yeah, sure. No, for example, we just had this Puchewe volcano eruption.
Yes.
Some months ago in Chile, and it was incredible how fast we got. We were able, through the help of the satellites and through the NASA program that it's unfortunately being shut down, but we were able, from Argentina, we were able to access to these maps and get to know how beforehand we knew it was going to come forth, but then we saw how it was developing and how the ashes were moving.
Yes.
It was like a cloud of ashes moving throughout the region. And there was a lot of panic in the media that, you know, what the British do. They put this panic based on sense perception, and they say, oh, no, the ashes are everywhere. That's going to damage the production and everything. But the point is not that. The point is, how can we transform? How can we use the concept that right now our basement team is developing of NAWAPA and the biospheric development? How can we use that to solve this kind of problems? And in the case of these ashes, that's been the fight, finding a way to transform that into nutrients for the soil. And I think it's the same with the program of what Russia is looking with this collaboration with Argentina, because the idea of extending our sensorium through the satellites is being able to, in the case of this volcano, you could definitely know, I think it's being documented in La Rouche Park, how we can have with a system of satellites, as Russia is discussing with Argentina and other countries, we can develop a network to identify with different parameters. So the method would be like a multi-parameter method, where we can identify these natural catastrophes beforehand, but several months beforehand, because you're not just measuring radio waves on Earth from outside. You're not just measuring salinity levels, the salinity levels and the currents of the water cycle through the salinity levels in the oceans, which in the case of hurricanes, that is strongly related to the salinity levels, as the SACLE Aquarius satellite, the Argentine satellite, is measuring. Mm-hmm. But you can see, you can take different parameters, different aspects, and get a complex view that from that standpoint you can actually know, you can have a narrow not in a row. You can have a picture in advance of where something is going to happen.
Something funny that leading scientist in Argentina said, which is, you know, Conrado Barotto, we mentioned before, he's a very prominent person here.
Right.
He said that the dream of its life is to forecast an earthquake 6 months beforehand.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, that was very, very beautiful and important because with that view is that everything is being done, that we really can, you know, not dominate or manage, but actually know the process that we are going through. As you can see, you know, with the solar activity and the whole climate system.
And what's important about that is that you're not subjected to a natural catastrophe, but actually with the power of an outside perspective from technology in the space, you can actually dominate these processes on Earth, regulate these processes, and you can forecast where if a new hurricane is coming, if a volcano is coming, if an earthquake is coming. So you can definitely move the population and do all the security necessary to save life.
Yeah, right. And let's emphasize in the final minutes that people can look on your website. Maybe you want to give it yourself. I see you have posted most recently a wonderful summary video, The Potential of Argentine Science, number 2. Mm-hmm. But yes. Go ahead and put this forward.
Yes. Well, actually, it's the second video that Rosina Castillo, our friend here, produced, because the first one was an exposition of two leading scientists from Argentina. One is Hector Otegui, and the other one is, he's the head of the IMBAP, which is the institution in Argentina that produces all the materials, all the components for nuclear, for space, everything related to that level of technology for the entire region and for the world. That's how they built the nuclear plants we sold to Australia, for example. So he was giving, in the first video, he was presenting that idea of how the concept of IMBAP developed in collaboration with the United States, when Conrado Barotto studied and visited the United States, and then he came back and said, man, we have to do this. We have to do something that works for the people. That's the concept of the scientific program. And then that inspired all the scientists in Argentina to move out of the academic view of science. Uh-huh. And do something to develop the region, uh-huh, not just Argentina. And then the second one, the other scientist in the first video is Lino Barañao, which is the minister of our newly launched Ministry of Science and Technology, and he also develops the idea of why nuclear energy is important in a world, in the context of a world that's getting out of nuclear energy, as the doomed transatlantic region is doing in Germany. Mm. And then the second video is just a further development, what Rosina shows in the Potencial of de la Ciencia Argentina 2. It's a further development of, okay, since we have this background, we have this history, as we saw in the first video, now we see, okay, what are we going to do? What kind of mission are we going to take on for the future of Argentina and for the future of the region if we're going to save Iberoamerica? Then she develops the idea of the collaboration between Russia and China and the United States with the new presidency instead of the dictatorial government of Obama, and in collaboration with Argentina, as I said at the beginning, for this program.
Right. So, well, one thing, let's rub it in. Do you want to say anything about the everything you describe is completely vanquishes the greeny outlook, the propaganda arm of the British imperial intent for genocide. And I know in Prince Charles was running loose in South America a few years ago. He went around Brazil. He went, so the World Wildlife and these types of the apparatus that wants this insane, superstitious, greeny, genocidal view. I hope they're running for cover. I hope they go into the sea. But what's happening in the on the continent with them?
Well, I would like to mention that, for example, in front of the Fukushima event, people were being worried about the situation, and
okay.
So they called in a primetime TV program, they called somebody representing the nuclear sector in Argentina.
Okay.
And when they asked him why some countries are closing down the nuclear sectors, this guy said, look exactly what countries are closing it. The countries that were part of the Axis in World War II.
Uh-huh.
And people were really shocked because, so we are talking about Nazis and ecologism and Nazism as the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So also that's somehow a political development. The understanding and the will to say that in public on TV.
From the science
yes.
sector. Yeah.
So.
You're right. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that was good.
Yeah, that was really good. Well, I guess in the final, there's just a few minutes left. Perhaps you want to say anything at large about what's coming ahead. I know in President Cristina Kirchner's speech, she said about the other nuclear plant site going to be extended for 25 years. Your research reactor is going to, but politically again, internationally, the message about the reality being already the realignment to what the Great Pacific Alliance means. Why don't you speak to that?
Well, I would like to say, the potential, it's there. I mean, as you said, not the potential, but right now, it's this will to move into that situation. And as you, if you want to move, if we want to move into this new kind of alignment, of course, we need Glass-Steagall. And in Glass-Steagall, I can tell you, it's automatically accepted. Not here in Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
Not because people is talking about that. But actually, the principles of sovereignty, the principles of the view of what the economy should be and must be, means that there is a completely open door for that kind of policy that, of course, needs to be applied first in the U.S., but there is this kind of will to join to other countries, to work into producing, expanding the production of mankind. So I think the scientific, as we said, the policy of expanding the scientific activity is actually diminishing a lot. The worries and discussions and comments on ecologism, because now that you are asking me, I actually don't remember what are they saying, because that really went down a lot. There is no such much activity on that. The issue is different now.
Right. And yes, I'm sure that that's what we want to hear. We want to make way. And let me just say to mention in passing, to anyone listening and in different parts of the world, Helga Zepp-LaRouche in the Schiller Institute, but she issued a call in August for people internationally to sign a petition or to come forward and sign and issue their own statements that they're doing so for the Glass-Steagall reinstitution, for credit based on the kind of outlook you're describing of a scientific realignment of the world away from this deadly speculation towards genocide and into the regime that is based on changing the universe in the way you're saying. So people can do that. They can find that EIR online. We'll be publishing more, some of the signatures that have come forward, because all of this is feeding into our role, our task here in the United States. I can't emphasize that enough. That in the next few days, don't hold back at all. due to how odious it appears in Washington. That can change overnight. Finally, just say something about, are you laughing when how crazy Christine Lagarde, the new head of the International Monetary Fund, tried to call your example in Argentina of snubbing the IMF an odious model for Greece? Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Well, because, I mean, the political victory is there. The cultural victory is there. So, really, I mean, we have been somehow suffering the IMF for many decades. Our lives, you know, it's based on, we are, I mean, a new, somehow a young generation based on the IMF. We live all our lives under the IMF, you know, dictatorship. So now that it has no effect, now that the way to be politically successful here is to kick the IMF, then it has really, yeah, it's funny because, you know, someone that is going down and down and down pretends to attack in such a, you know, sad way. But yeah, sure, it's something for celebration.
Yes, that's right. There's the real beauty in life is after the IMF, and that time is now. So
yes.
One thing I want to thank you. We've come to the end of the time. That's Betiana Gonzalez speaking to us from Argentina, and Emiliano Andino from Buenos Aires, and likewise in Argentina. And I'll just say to you friends, October 8th, our next show a week from now, is occurring just at the time of the 100-year anniversary of the revolution, the Republican Revolution in China. And we will have special guests discussing that. But this is the kind of fighting optimism. We are in a war. We had some moments of pleasure here, but we're going to fight this and win it. And I want to thank both of you again. This will be the conclusion of the October 1st, 2011 LaRouche Show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marcia.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.